midst and in his place, you will have stories of grief and stories of leanness. Stories that will create doubt in the hearts of men, and stories that will reveal the possibility of the fact that God can afford to be unfaithful. Are you still with me? Now, let him read that scripture from Good News. Please be loud. The Bible reveals that we do have a share in, there is a share. So our call to Christ is a call to also share inevitably with his reproach. We need to understand that. It's part of the Christian call. Okay. We share in God's great help. There is great help that is made available to us on the strength of that. Amen. Verse 6, are you with me now? And whether we be afflicted, it is for your own consolation and salvation. Hallelujah. Which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your own consolation. That is, it is through verse 6 that we understand that a believer cannot be disadvantaged. Has situations and circumstances brought you to a point where you feel that God, why? Now let me tell you the truth. Every time somebody asks that question, why, and God decided to answer them, they had to repent. Every time. They suffered some kind of loss and they now say, God, why me? Every time God made an attempt to answer that question, the people eventually had to repent. Because they saw that the scope and the vista from which they were viewing the situation was too narrow. And if God should help them, help you, help me, with a more broader perspective of the same situation and what intends to come out of that situation if you operated properly and adequately with it. If you see the scope from God's plane, many times we see our smallness and our leanness. We see our state and we have to repent. Hallelujah. The supply of the Spirit does not come to you when you are self-centered. In fact, the best way for the devil to deal with you is when he is able to meticulously bring you to that point where you do not see anything but yourself. And if you are brought to that point of deception, the operations and the activities of the devil become very relevant to you. You give heed to them. You will respond by them. And when I see somebody, hallelujah, the same situation, the same circumstances, but if God makes you see beyond yourself, some things will lose their value before your face. And that capacity for you to see beyond yourself is that you have received grace. If not that you receive grace, you won't have been able to see beyond yourself. And if you can't see beyond yourself, God cannot supply his Spirit. He always supplies his Spirit commensurate to what you see. Alright? Like in most of my prayers, I pray for people. I don't know when last I pray for myself. And I'm very serious about that. Most of my prayers. When I wake up in the night with back pain, trying to access God, and I eventually access him, I begin to pray for people. I begin to pray for people, and the Holy Spirit begins to give me visions and revelations that I need to pray about. And I begin to pray for people. I begin to pray for people. The reason why that grace functions is because my perspective has been adjusted. But you, since you began to pray, God has never given you any revelation about any other person because you are closed up. Your perspective, you have been zeroed into yourself. And so, God cannot operate to a particular extent in your life. You are small. Small man in a big body. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, there's so much in Christ for us to tap into. There were several times I prayed for myself, prayed for some things. The things didn't change. I said, all right, you are God and man. I don't need to understand everything. I won't pray about this thing again. And when I stopped praying about them, they now began to happen. So I didn't need to testify again. No need. Because the time it would have been a golden testimony to me. That time passed. Then I now saw that if I begin to trivialize some things, God will know that I've grown beyond that thing and God will answer me. Until I go to a point where I don't even pray about issues. Oh, my wife called me and said, my son is purging. I said, okay, it's all right. No. If I spend my time, 3 hours, 4 hours, praying for you, no, my own life can't be like that. I saw you, I didn't pray for him. That's me. I saw you, I didn't what? Then I called her because I was worshiping my God in the morning. And God said, find out about your son, man. I said, what happened to him? He said, the purging has stopped. I said, okay. What of the pain you were carrying? She says, there's a serious pain. You have pain. I didn't pray about it. Because I trained myself to come to a level so that I can receive a supply. God knows that I need a heavy dose of the Holy Spirit to stay alive now because I'm so big on the inside. He knows that. And so when people wake up in the morning, he comes to some of us first so that we can take our dose. Because he has helped fine-tune our perspective of emphasis and we have gone beyond ourselves. So we need gallons of the Spirit to give stability to the kind of life that we have been programmed by God to begin to live. But somebody is just so lean, he just sees himself. Hey! This pension. Ah! Oh! The Lord will open your eyes to understand that all the time that the pension was not paid, he was the one taking care of you and you never gave thanks once. And your eyes so fastened upon the pension did not make you see the miraculous things that he had been rotting around your life. If only we can count our blessings. If only it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And so the apostle begins to tell us about practical Christianity, how he experiences God in his daily life. In verse 7 he says, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. Our hope is steadfast. This we have proved in God. We have proved this. And there's no doubt about this kind of hope. But a man that comes into any situation and he comes into that situation while in Christ, that situation will give birth to an enlargement. I used to be sick every two weeks. And the time came, my prayer point, I left that sickness. And I began to do what God told me to begin to do. The power of that sickness and the spirit that brought that sickness became more and more irrelevant until he left without saying goodbye. Then I saw that your devil is so excited when we give him attention. So excited. When we make him the object of our focus, and then he begins to manifest in several dimensions. And then that becomes your new story. Ebline. And the devil keeps giving you stories and experiences. And you keep talking about it. But God wants you to be so conscious of him that you'll be brought to a point where even if the devil moves, you don't know. You don't know. I've been praying for 10 years, 15 years, praying for people. My own life cannot be a prayer project. That's what I believe. Because if I give prayer, I'll receive prayer. It means when you are speaking in tongues in the night, sometimes God diverted some of your prayer, diverted it to my pipe, diverted because I give prayer. So I have to receive prayer. So God did not expect that my life will be sustained by my own prayer because I put myself in the capacity of a giver. So I survive on other people's prayer. Hallelujah. Now, I'm saying this so that we can enlarge. Our capacity can enlarge. Don't remain where you are. It's not the best that God has to offer to his people. If you begin to enlarge your capacity, the supply that comes to you will become more. And when the supply becomes more, there are times when the Lord fills your vessel, you will feel it on your body. Because you will receive big dose. You will feel it. The reason why I don't want them to play that thing, because if they start playing it now and I begin to worship, he will supply again. And we don't need to put a post and say miracle service. No. Even now, like this, the supply will come. It's all about a revelation. It's all about what you see. I'm so conscious of God that sometimes the devil is operating. I don't even know. Except until God himself now reveals it to me. Meanwhile, some people are conscious of what next, what terrible thing will happen next. What bad thing, what bad news. And their line begins to go in circles. And Paul is saying that this hope is steadfast. That if you partake of sufferings for Christ or sufferings in Christ, sufferings for Christ are persecutions that come on the account of your faith. Sufferings in Christ are situations that come to encounter you now that you are in the Lord. There's always a release of grace that should accompany it. There should be an enlargement. Hallelujah. Okay, let's jump now so that we'll... And as he began to teach these things, he now gave an example about his own self and his own experience. And the example we are talking about is in verse 8, 9, and 10. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. Have you ever had a situation and you prayed to die before? Now, let's be sincere, okay? All right, two people just, oh my God. You are not the first person that had that experience. Paul had it too. He said he was pressed on every measure and he could not sense that there was any need to live on. And he begged to die. And the reason why you are still here, it means that God didn't answer your own prayer. Because the intention of God for allowing the situation to come to you was not so that you would die. But there was something in him that he could not reveal to you any other way except by allowing you to be pressed. And that's why the place Gethsemane means in English, it means Gethsemane, it means wine press. Wine press. That was the place that Jesus prayed and his blood dropped, his sweat drops like blood. All right? Now, you see, he was pressed. He was in anguish. And that anguish was not just physical, it was spiritual. I don't have time to describe or to explain what happened in that garden. You would have understood it perfectly well. But there are several times that situations begin to press your soul. And then they bring you to a point where you cannot see any logical reason why you should be here now. And that is the same thing happened to Paul. And Paul said he despaired of life, he prayed to die. The Bible went on to say in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Here's the problem. The problem was that the pressure that came on Paul was expected to bring him to a point where he did not trust in himself. That's why God allowed that pressure. Are you still with me? So Paul, in all his ministry up until this time, had so much confidence in what he could do, in what he could say. And Paul wanted to bring him to a point that he would go beyond that point because he could not access the next level in God having that kind of mindset and that kind of perspective. So God allowed situations to line up. When I say God allowed, I mean that he came from the devil, but God was aware, but God didn't say anything. Because he's expecting that situation will bring out of you a peaceable fruit of righteousness that will enlarge you the more and align you better to draw from God's supply. Yes, the devil meant it for evil, but God knows that that process will turn out for good. He must have articulated that before he allowed it to come your way. And if you can have it in your mind that God can never be against you, but God will always be for you, you will come to that point where that even if you don't understand why some things are happening to you, you will know that God that allowed it know that it will yield something positive from my life. And so Paul was brought to that point when he was pressed. And then at the end of the day, he saw how handicapped his abilities and his capacity was to bring him deliverance. And then at that point, he was made to scream, God, where are you? Then out of nowhere, God now came to his rescue. And then the lesson and the message was conveyed in the process. That it is true that we were brought close to death and we felt the sentence of death as it were upon ourselves. Some of us need to be pressed that much before we get to a point where we know that our abilities cannot see us through. Alright? When Paul came to that level, he now discovered that with all his abilities, he did not have the power over death. And when he cried for help in the midst of the situation that looked like death, then God now came to him. And then he now received a personal revelation of God. He now received the revelation of the fact that God has the power to raise from the dead. It was this revelation that was the backbone behind every dead man that Paul raised. After this experience, more grace came upon his life, and he had so much confidence because he has experientially seen God to have the capacity to raise from what? What did the doctors tell you? And then that has been the basis of the fear that has been looming in your life all this while. I present to you a God that has power sufficient even to raise the dead, such that even if you die now, there is power resident in him to raise you up. Hallelujah. Notice that we would not have had this experience, this revelation, except Paul had this experience. And the experience came, the revelation came as the product of the experience that Paul had. Now, so if the experiences you go through does not produce a revelation of God that will provide an anchor for you to trust God more, it means you wasted those experiences. Now, I want the class to be a bit interactive in the next 5 minutes before we close. Hallelujah. Now, like if you are like me and you have lost your dad, let me see your hand. We are many. All right, okay, put your hand down. Now, if you lost your dad when you are young, maybe in school and all of that, very, very young, let me see your hand. Very, very young. Okay, put it down. If you lost your dad when you were in the Lord, let me see your hand. Okay, so in the Lord. You lost your dad when you were in the Lord, when you were born again already? All right, put your hand down. Let's find out if she wasted that experience or she used it to gain something in Christ that has provided an enlargement. Are you with me? Now, because I will have to take you to the Old Testament and show you a graphic illustration of what I'm teaching. Please rise. Now, you're going to tell us, because we want to know if she wasted that opportunity or if she utilized it and then that became a springboard for her to enter into another pedestal in Christ. Now, how have you survived? What is your testimony to today? How did you survive from that point? And what is your testimony? Make it as short as possible.
The time that I lost my father is 1985.
We are not hearing you.
1985 that I lost my father.
And you were born again then?
Yes, but then. I know God by then. So, my father is not a Christian. And the family of my father, they are not a Christian. So, they do how they do their own, but for me and my mother, we are a Christian by then. So, we still thank God.
How did you survive? How did you people survive? In the midst of the hopelessness, the lack of provision, lack of sustenance, and you were there, your mom was there. How did you survive?
I can't tell because...
It means you didn't utilize that situation. Sit down. Because if you utilize the situation, you have something to tell like Paul had. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Okay. You lost your dad while you were young. You were in the Lord then. Okay.
Praise the Lord. I just want to share this short testimony. I came back from Lagos, where I gave my life to Christ and all that because of the kind of life we lived over there before. So when I came in, I discovered that, because I was apprehended for a very long time, gave my life to Christ, came back and all that. And when I came back home, I discovered that my father was no more, though I lost my mom when I was very young. And I came back from Lagos in the Lord, seriously in the Lord. So I came in that night, they tried telling me that, because they deceived me all the way from Lagos, that my father was still alive, all was still okay. When I entered the compound and saw things, I discovered my father was dead. I just knew that my father was dead. I was telling them, they said, no, my father was still alive till around 8 in the night. They began to tell me that your sister, you know, someone that is in abroad, died while you're over there. The breadwinner of the family, your father, also that you know, died. They told me about my father first and my sister. And I was expecting to see my sister coming from. So there and then, I wept. I ran out with a torch. So like that, they held me. When they held me, the scriptures just came in where I was standing there. That in every situation, it is the will of Christ, the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When I got that, I said they should leave me. They should leave me alone. They were still holding me as if, you know, I was going to do something terrible. As soon as they left me, I went in and I slept like a baby. Then when I woke up in the night, I looked at my younger brother on the bed. I prayed that I had never prayed in my life before. I prayed till, that was when I got the Holy Ghost baptism. I prayed till 5 a.m. Because I looked at myself, I looked at my brother, I said, Father, I have nobody but you. And since then, I tell you, the Lord has been, no. The Lord has been.
See, our lives are lived on promises that God gives us when we are put under pressure and we are motivated to pray or to do some things or to press to God or press on God in such a way that we actually put upon him the responsibility of our upkeep from that point. If you get there, God normally responds with a promise, and that promise becomes the basis upon which your life is lived. God gave him a scripture saying, everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as he lived and as he began to put that scripture to work, all right, the will of God began to find expression. And so that when God responds in such a time and begins to bring provision, you now know that it is him. It becomes obvious. And you cannot live your life for any other thing except for. So that situation brought an enlargement which you wouldn't have had if your father were alive. Do you get what I'm talking about? Has anybody been sick for a long time and people thought you would die, but you came out of it? For a long time, you were sick, you were down. No, men, when they say men are sick, their own is not like women. Women's own is more than men. Just a testimony, okay? Just a testimony. Then you understand that God is a setup. You cannot be disadvantaged. You cannot be disadvantaged. There is something that happened to me, which I will share finally. Then your eyes will be open before you begin to pray. Now tell us your testimony.
Praise the Lord. When my father died, so I went for burial. And that burial, one of my relatives did something to me. And by then I was born again, so immediately I noticed that something was wrong. So I ran to my husband, and he called one of the pastors. They prayed for me. But that thing that is not stopped. So when I came back home, back to Makudi, that one day I just woke up around 6. As I opened my eyes on the bed, then I heard a voice that said, you will not get out of this bed today. So immediately a wind from the window just came upon me. And everything inside of me, I was as if everything inside of me was taken out. My intestine, my heart, everything, I was just empty. So I got up, I shouted, Jesus! Jesus! Then they said I should go outside. So I went outside, I started, then the spirit dropped a scripture on my mind. Say, confess that you will not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. So I started saying that scripture over and over and over and over.
and then I came in. And that sickness tormented me for years. One day, I just sat at the back of the house. I was crying. Then God ministered to me, say, don't cry. You will not die, but I will show your people that I am God. And that's why I'm alive to you today. And he approved to them that he's God. Because my uncle, my immediate uncle, that the one that followed my father, say I was stubborn. Anything they say I should come and do something at home, I will say I'm a Christian. I cannot do that. So when my father dies, I will see. So immediately my father died, I went for burial. Then they did that thing to me. But I'm alive today. He's dead. Praise the Lord.
Every experience, there is a potential door that is within that experience to lead you to a place of enlargement. I pray that your eyes will be open to understand it. That it's through process that we find enlargement and refuge in God. True process. Now let me read a scripture before I close. Because the reason why I hate demons, the reason I hate them, I hate Satan with passion, because of the suffering he suffered me when I was small. I've suffered. This my body has suffered. Injection, drip everywhere. I suffered. I didn't know I survived it. Oh my God. But in the midst, there was something I saw. And it led me to this place of enlargement. Hallelujah. Now if you turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews, maybe we'll just read that and close. Amen. We'll read that and you'll commit all your challenges into the hand of God. In Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 6, amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13, the Bible says, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. Several things that God does to bring us to a point where we become sure on some things. Conviction and assurance comes experientially. In response to a cry that came from the soul of despair. And when God surfaces, we now know him to be the true anchor. That our soul and our turbulence can rest upon. Such that our eyes can see the hope that he has set before us. I want us to pray. Let's rise and pray together. That the devil will not be able to make you focus upon the wrong thing. The devil will not succeed. And because we focus on the hope that is set before us, there will be a supply of God's Spirit sufficient to bring us to that point where we find an anchor. I want us to call upon the name of the Lord. With respect to the current pressures that you have now in your life, there is an anchor. There is an anchor. There is an anchor. An anchor for your soul. A proven anchor. Sure and steadfast. God will give you a testimony. God will give you a testimony. He'll give you a testimony. He'll give you a testimony. He'll give you a testimony. An anchor. Grant, O God, that through the circumstances and the situations that we have been through, will bring us to a place of enlargement where we can stand and testify that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Take me through this slim place, this narrow place. Bring me to the place of enlargement. Take me through this place and let your grace be abundantly bestowed upon my life. We have an anchor. The songwriter says that keeps the soul steadfast and sure when the billows roll. Fasting to the rock which cannot move, rounded firm and deep in the Savior's law. We have an anchor. Halabo sante mamai. Ila masaka barasati amakalanda babarakatana. Ila mrasata babola bakata grande soliamate. Enzo monda brate koskate briala babasanda babola. Arise, O God. Hear the cry of your people. Hearken unto the words that proceed from their soul. For in thee we live, in thee we move, and in thee we have our being. And everyone we have a testimony, something upon his lips to proclaim that this happened, that we may not trust in ourselves but in God that raises from the dead. Arise, my terrible things in righteousness. Bring your people into enlargement. Bring them into the place of fullness where they can testify that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Handa basobri ala babata di makata babarakasta. Shabrondo bokase marahaska tabranta babodo. Emronda baskale babahasa rambatakal. Rakabasanda rana babosa. From step to step, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, Lord, take us, bring us to them, to the wide place, to the broad place. In Jesus' name we pray. Shortly after Abraham died in the Bible, several other people rose up against Isaac. The Bible says that he dug again the wells of his father Abraham. And for those wells, the Philistines strove with him. And he removed from thence and dug another well. And for that again, the Philistines strove with him. He called the name of the first well Isaac, which means strive. Moved again, and they strove with him. He called the name of the second well Sitna, which means the place of contention. The Bible says, and he removed from thence, and he dug another well. And for that, the Philistines strove not. And he said, indeed, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall increase in the land. See, there is a place of enlargement. That's where God is taking you through. And he takes you to Isaac, where there are so much strife, so much jealousy. And because of the jealousy that is operating around in the family, people begin to try to strike you down. They try to kill you. They take up incantations to fight against your destiny. Isaac was there in the place called Isaac. So many fights, so many contentions. And he moved to the second place when they saw that he began to prosper. And the people that were fighting him were people that his father had covenant with, a covenant of peace with. But yet they fought with him. And he called the place Sitna, for they contended with him. And the Bible says he moved from thence. and dog another way. And for that they strove not. And he said, yes, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall increase in the land. You want to pray and say, Lord, take me through the straight path. Bring me now to the place of enlargement. Make room for me, that I may increase in the land. Make room, make room, make room, make room, make room. Now make room, Lord. Now make room for me. For 26 years I've been walking through the lonely path. Now make room. Show a sign, Lord. Make room for me. Make room. Make room. Make room now, Lord. Kasonda babarakata. Ask the Lord to make room. Because for this other world they shall not strive. Kaprendo mosili matal. Embra makata baraskanta baba. Make room. For many years you have been fighting. You have been contending. You have been clashing against sword and spear, against shield and bow. But now, you want to say, Lord, make room for me. Take me to that place where I shall find space to enlarge myself without threat or fear. The Lord has made room for us, and we shall increase in the land. Omena selima mata. Pambranda kande baboro kande. Ila branzata barakata mina gonza mawa. Le bronza ne katembro. Iga selima mantai. Masoria mamate lima kode. The Lord has made room. He has made room for us. He has made room. He has made room. And we shall increase in the land. Make room for us as a people. Make room for us. Let there be increase. Do things that have never happened before. Oh God, let there be a sign that your name is amongst us. That your name is with us. Make room. Kame no seria mama tatali mahua. Alabasa dabala babaha. Samborokos ketembriara babane makwa. Arise and contend for your people. Hamreseto morokos ketembriara babase. Kaya mama. Masala babase. Kelomosika mazayema. Endo baseri mamata. Iga bandoro balobosia rababa. Make room. Make room. Make room for us. Make room, Lord. Igo bondesen. Iga barabasali amata. Membra dababo seket. Iraboto minagwande barakusa ba. Rabatali basambra takaba seko baria mama. Sebronde karababa sebe. Iraboto kose minagwala tamina kose. Ikabala samina kaya babosa. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. I want to read a prophecy to you. The reason why I call it a prophecy is because it was given to me just now, and it shall come to pass. It's from a scripture. Because 2 Samuel, no, 1 Samuel. Don't open. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proud. Let not arrogancy come out of thy mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, and they that stumbled were girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren has borne seven, and he that had many children is wax feeble. This is the word that God gave me. He said, the bow of the mighty are broken, and they that stumble were girded with strength. Lord, tonight, let the bow of the mighty be broken. Let there be a testimony upon the lips of your people that the people that stumble were hitherto none to be girded with strength. Arise, O God, stretch forth your hand, show a sign that your people may testify. I want you to rejoice now. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Because a new day has come. Kambosina matakaba. Embronda kasekba oskatua labata. The bow of the mighty is broken. Bakosila yafanda makandebo. Shanda bakala batahiba. Show everyone a sign. Show everyone a sign. Show everyone a sign. Let the bow of the mighty be broken. Onde makabo sikaba. Shanda marakata emia sotamwa. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise.
You are highly lifted up, awesome God. You are highly lifted up, awesome God. You are highly lifted up. You are highly lifted up. Awesome God, awesome God, you are highly lifted up. Awesome God, you are highly lifted up. Yeah, 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 yeah. You are highly lifted up. Singing one more time, you are highly lifted up. Awesome God, yeah. Awesome God, oh, oh, oh.
Now, let me tell you something for everyone that came this night. There will be a sign. You shall testify that the bow of the mighty is broken. You shall testify. We make our boast because the Lord liveth. You shall testify that the bow of the mighty is broken. Thank you. The bow of the mighty is broken. The bow of the mighty is broken. Protect
give you praise. Arise, O morning star. Arise like in the time of old. Lead your people from tonight into the place that is enlarged. Lead them to the place that is enlarged. Arise, O morning star. Kotiyama satabaka. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Please, I want to make an announcement quickly before we go. There is a secret team that we have. A secret team. Several people have come under the burden of the need to pray. A lot of them have moved from their place of dwelling and they are staying in the complex now, praying every night and day. Now, I don't need to tell you this actually, but there is a reason why I'm saying what I'm saying. They pray. Amen. Every night when you are sleeping, some people are praying. Now, so I want to request this, okay? Since they have been staying there, I asked them today, what are you people eating? So there's a problem. The problem is that there's nothing to eat. They are praying for you as you are sleeping in the night. Pray till daybreak. Pray. They're seditious. About the things the devil wants to do, they handle it in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. When you are tired, they are praying. Now, I want, it's not compulsory, but this is what I request. That we'll be bringing them food, that raw food, not cooked one. As the Lord blesses you, you take a sack of rice and go and cook. If the Lord gives you 4 yams, you can take 2. They know how to cook. I think they know how to cook. I think so. So that they will not become weary, because the strength, the Lord has given them strength. Hallelujah. The Lord. You know, when you went, after the first day of the program, you went to sleep. We came back. I said, hallelujah. In this place became another place. This place. And the reason why you have not heard any story, bad story, yet, is because, it's not because the devil did not try, but people were there. I think it's our duty to make sure that they don't have a reason to sit down and think of their life. Hallelujah. Now, so we are going to, as the Lord blesses us, we will make sure that the stock is high. The prayer points we receive from you, we take it there. And then day and night, day and night, day and night, these guys keep praying. You know, ASU is still on strike. A lot of them are students and they don't have anything to do. So now they say, oh yeah, let us see the end of this matter. Now, so even if we can't come to join them in the night to pray, at least we can make sure that they don't live on angel's bread. Hallelujah. We are going to make serious plans to make sure that their upkeep is guaranteed. You may have some change, some cash. You can give. Their leader is Joshua. He's at the back there. That tall man. You see the way he prays like a lion. My God. A lot of demons have been. Their path has been limited. In the name of Jesus. You have heard Chris. You have heard his own tongue. As if. More happens here in the night than in the day. When we come for service, it's short and our service is 2 hours. But in the night, till daybreak. It's because of those prayers that the power of God come. Not because any of us is anything. No. There is prayer. A lady came yesterday and sat at the back with Marie Spirit. When she came, and that lady was shocked. So when I looked at her, I said, oh, wait for me. Let me go to the pulpit first. Wait. So when I came to the back. You saw that girl, but
She ran. A no prayer. If a heavenly should come here, we will be blind. You become, we will help him. There's nothing that happens that we don't see it. Because there's a no prayer. And so we are going to make sure we, as you give them food and all of that raw stuff, also give them your prayer point. We want to keep praying like this, for the next 10 years. 10 years. If it's not your time to die, you can't die. If you die, we come, we carry, you come back. No, you are not finished the work of God. What are you? Don't have any business dying. I don't believe that. You come back. So for the next 10 years, we want to keep that fire burning, so that the entire landscape of Benue will experience a renewal. When we go out and God moves, it's because there are some people praying. No, not because we are strong. No, forget it. Don't be confused. No, nobody is wrong. But there is a lot of power is made available in the place every night. We want to continue it. And we're expecting that very soon you too will be giving you prayer tablets so that you'll be growing the place of prayer. The Lord bless you. Please, as you remember them, Joshua is there. Pastor Shala is there. You can. Please, Pastor Shala, let them see. Give them what you have. It will get to the right place. Amen. Before we came out to begin to hold mic, we have prayed for 2 years in the room. 2 years. 2 years with fasting. We didn't come here because we are fine. The devil has given way. He has 2 years indoors. 2 years. 2 years. In the parlor. In my parlor. And there was heat. We'll be sweating like this. We'll off shirt. And pray for 2 years. One cat used to come and cry. The cat. The Lord is with you in the name of Jesus. You can't die. Oh. In case you went to the village, they say, begin to prepare. Somebody came to me yesterday and said, they prophesied to him that his mother went somewhere and consulted. And they prophesied that he would die. I say, hey, wait. Me. I say, not God or me. I say, you will not die. Me. Go. If it's that, if that one is your prayer point, go. Hallelujah. Please, we'll make sure that they are encouraged so that we can continue what we believe God has called us to do. And the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. As you walk out, drop an offering. For those of you that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, tomorrow by 3 o'clock, you have a class with the instructor. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says the young and the old. The young will see visions. The old will what? Dream dreams. You have a part in the revival that is coming. The Lord bless you. That banker, come. We have closed, but banker, come.